It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
All right, let's get to the prospects. We did not get to talk about Mitchell Parker's start, I guess. We broke down who he is and what his deal is before his major league debut on our last pod. But he did now pitch once for the Nationals, and I would say it went pretty well. Admirable performance, 4 hits and 2 runs earned over 5 innings against the Dodgers through 81 pitches. Did not walk anybody, which one of the bugaboos for him in the minor leagues at different points has been that he does have some walk issues that he's been trying to iron out and clean up. And as he's gotten closer to the big leagues, he's gotten a little more refined in that area. Struck out 4 in his 5 innings. So number one, no walks, I thought was awesome. Against that lineup, anxieties and nerves you're going to have in a big league debut in a historical ballpark, you can't ask for much more than he provided. I'm not a big, how should I say this? I like Mitchell Parker a lot. He's a lefty. He can touch 96. He, I think, has a chance to be like a multi-inning reliever or someone that can help them a bunch. The idea, though, of 2 pitches, which is basically what he is. He's like fastball, curveball, throws a splitter every now and then. But it's basically it's 2 pitches. It's mid-90s kind of at peak. It's not a profile that you're going to necessarily dominate with at the major league level or pitch in the middle of a rotation. And so I think the ceiling here is maybe back of the rotation if he continues to improve. But what I want to say that, you know, it sounds like I'm not a big fan. Again, I think this guy can help the big league ball club for the next several years in the right role. I also think this is the type of win the organization needs more of. We've talked about it with Jake Irvin. You see it with Jacob Young. We've seen Jake Alou and some other guys come up and have some moments. Like, at some point, it can't just be the blue chippers you got for Juan Soto or the studs that you got back in some of these trades, or, you know, Gray making an all-star team who Scherzer and Turner got you, or Kay Barrett, who's been ill and out for a week. You also need to hit on some of those other guys that were in the system before you flooded the system with talent and started picking in the top 5. And I think this is a big deal for the Nats staff, for a lot of the guys that are still here who have been developing, drafting players for years. If you start to get some of these guys like Jake Irvin, no household name, you know, like Mitchell Parker, no real fanfare to come up, the whole thing looks better. It looks like there's more depth than they get credit for.
Yeah, really good start. I mean, like we talked about when we were previewing it, Jake Irvin was kind of this guy last year, and look what he's doing this year. We're talking about him, you know, taking that next step and improving. Maybe this is something where Mitchell Parker can do something similar, you know, going forward the rest of this year and even into next year. Like, this is a guy that's, it's not like we expect him to be the ace of the staff, but he came out and pitched really well against the Dodgers. And, you know, when you come up, your first major league hitter is Mookie Betts, and you strike him out. You're facing Shohei Ohtani. You struck him out as well. He struck out Betts again, and he struck out Teoscar Hernandez. And you look at some of the swings guys were putting on there. I think that that shows you that he's got some good stuff. Like, the swing that he got from Ohtani to strike him out showed me that, well, maybe there is a little bit of something there. And, you know, it's his first major league start. It's not like there's an extensive book, you know, so it's something that, you know, the league's going to adjust, and then you have to adjust to the league adjusting to you. We'll see when all that stuff happens. But first major league start, you're out at Dodger Stadium on Jackie Robinson Day, which I think is ironic or interesting because we don't even know what number Jake or Mitchell Parker wears. I've seen him wear 42. But Dodger Stadium, Jackie Robinson Day, facing Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and you only give up 2 runs in 5 innings, you'll take that every day of the week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, rest of some of the guys in the system to hit. James Wood, first time this season, really cooled off over a couple of days at the plate. Baseball is happening. 0 for 9, 1 for 13 coming into play today. Went 1 for 1 and came around the base paths. But the game ended up getting halted by rain. I mean, enough, by the way, Rochester. Enough with the weather. It's been asinine. Every single time I turn around, they're in a delay. They're getting PPD'd. They're not playing. Can I just watch James Wood play baseball, for God's sake? And by the way, Toby Altizer is my guy. I love Toby. I'm a Toby Altizer stan. I'm a Toby Altizer mark. I can see it on Toby's face. He thinks a butt is coming. But a butt is not coming. I just wanted to tell people, I walk into the studio today. I was literally, I'm just a James Wood mark, so I was going to go pull up my computer to see what he did in his first at bat. And what is Toby doing? Toby's got the Rochester Red Wings game on his phone in front of him at work, and he's like, James Wood already got a hit. That's why Toby's my guy, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Grant. Yeah, I was watching the game, and I turn it on, and I'm like, all right, so they delayed the game. It was supposed to start at 11:05. The
shocker,
first pitch was,
by the way,
at 11:45, and I turn it on. I'm like, all right, so now we're in the clear, and downpour.
Toby, I know we can't afford a dome, okay? I know that our, you know, several hundred listeners to this pod for each episode, and by the way, we're trying to grow this thing. Can you guys help us a little bit? Spread the word on Bustin' Loose Baseball, huh? Tell your pals. Get some Nats fans to listen. Bustin' Loose Baseball, subscribe, rate, review. Let them know that we do this twice a week. We get a new pod available for you on Monday and Thursday every single week. But, Toby, I bring this up to say, if we all throw together on like a GoFundMe, I'm not saying that we could put a roof or a dome over top of Rochester, but maybe we could just get like a bunch of people to hold a sheet over top of the ballpark or something, and just be in lifeguard stands, like a very makeshift situation. Is it too much to ask? I want to watch a little James Wood baseball, for God's sake, man.
I know. You just want to watch that guy play. And I felt bad because you're watching it, and when you stepped in, Trey Lipscomb was at the plate. Could you imagine Trey Lipscomb, what he's gone through in the last couple of weeks? He goes from being in Rochester and thinking, oh no, I got to play in this awful weather, to playing with the Nationals, to going back, and his first AB is just downpouring. And he's like, I thought I got away from this.
Welcome to the show.
Just awful. We need baseball in Rochester, so maybe we need to set up a GoFundMe and figure something out so we can actually get to see the boys play.
Time is coming for James Wood. Dylan Cruz tonight took a 0-for-4, did steal a base, come around, score a run. He's been very, very streaky and still, you know, just not putting it all together at the plate. But, you know, it's funny, for as much as you look and you see Dylan Cruz 1-for-4 or 0-for-3 or whatever it is, numbers are decent. You know, he's hitting .245. Obviously, that's not what you're aiming for. But he's got a .740 OPS. He's getting on base at like a .330 clip. And what I mean by that is, like, I think if you ask the average person, whether it's a prospect, insider type, or just a Nats fan, they'd go, oh, yeah, Cruz's start to the year has been super disappointing. Well, his start to the year has actually been kind of league average-ish, right? But we're disappointed because we're all expecting so much. But because the loud has been so loud, the big games have been so gargantuan, right? He had a 4-for-5 where he had 7 total bases with a home run. He had another 3-for-5 where he had a bolt and 6 total bases, a couple extra base hits. Like, you take those two games out of the equation, and this is what happens super early in the year when you only have 40 at bats, it looks pretty ugly. But I could say the same thing about his two worst games, right? If you take out his 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts to start the season, and then a subsequent 0-for-4 with a couple of K's, you know, now you're 9 at bats taken away, 6 strikeouts vanish, and you're 10-for-32 at the plate. And, you know, after taking away 2 games, he's now hitting .313. So I guess my point is, it's just too early to take a lot out of the numbers.
Yeah, and if you look back at yesterday's game, as we record on Wednesday, so Tuesday's game, Robert Hassel in a tie game hits a triple, and then Dylan Cruz drives him in with a walk-off single. So, you know, there's just bits and pieces. Again, it's a growth for him. You know, if you expected him to come out red hot and work right away, then sure, you're kind of like the rest of us. We were hoping that he was going to be right in the majors right away. It just didn't happen that way, and that's also not normal. Like, what he's going through is very normal.
Question. Yeah, sorry to cut you off. I want to ask you a question. Do you agree with me that if he is hitting 240 in double-A, with a whatever, what did I say, 760 OPS or whatever it is, 740 OPS. If he's doing that in, let's say, a month and a half, I would be pretty disappointed. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
Would you, yep. would be disappointed?
But agreed.
So I guess, correct me or you take it where you want, but basically for us, it's early enough with some real positive signs that there's no reason to be disappointed yet.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just like if you've watched him, he just feels like he's waiting to take off. I think the one thing that concerns me is the number of strikeouts. But again, it's so early on that I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think what a lot of Nationals fans have fallen prey to is they've looked over in Texas and saw Wyatt Langford. And they're like, well, what the heck, right? This guy was taken after Dylan Cruz. But it's just something where we thought it would click right away, and it hasn't, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the normal progression of a minor league baseball player, and he's going through it. And so hopefully it's something that we see soon. But I think even then, Grant, like, even if it's a month from now and he's still only got like a 750 OPS and we're maybe a little bit disappointed, that doesn't mean he's going to be a bad ball player. It might click in July. It might click in August. It's just one of those things where I think it's in there. It's just got to come out at some point, and it hasn't yet. But when it does, and I've said this every time we talk about Cruz, to me, as soon as he gets like one good week going, or he just finds something at the plate that one day and gets things kind of rolling, I think the floodgates are going to open, and we're just waiting for him to kind of put back-to-back games together and put that whole week together. We haven't gotten that yet. But, I mean, you also can't ignore, like, yes, he's had too many 0-for-4 three-punchy days, but he's also had 4-for-5 grand slam kind of days as well. So it's not as if there's been no good with Dylan Cruz.
Yeah. You were talking about him and Langford and, like, you know, the comparing that people do. I don't know why I had shades of just, like, some movie where there's a kid who is in middle school and everyone else has gone through puberty or something, and he's like, but why don't I have hair under my arms, Mom? And she's like, it's going to happen, sweetie. Don't worry. You know, it's like Dylan Cruz is just looking at MLB Tonight or MLB Network, and he sees Wyatt Langford in the show already, who, by the way, you know, this will sound dumb saying this about a guy who was in college last year. He has not quite done what I anticipated. I thought he would hit for more power. He's been about 250. I think his OPS is in the 600s. It's hard. You know, look at Jackson Holliday. He's 1-for-100 to start his big league career. I think he's 1-for-23 right now. And it's not like that means he shouldn't have been called up, right? There's plenty of other guys in the big leagues that are 1-for-their-last-20 as well that we're not really living and dying with every at bat with. He's hit the ball hard at times, but it is difficult when you get called up. There's no doubt about it that you're going to have to make some adjustments. I will read a couple of the comments that we've gotten since our last Boston Loose Baseball episode. Remember, we will gladly shout you out. All you got to do is give us a 5-star rating, ideally, and leave a sweet little comment. So let's do that. We've got Nats Nut 2. Let's clap it up for Nats Nut 2. There we go now. There we go. Love that they cover the Nats minor league players and feature interviews with players as well as the major leaguers. Thank you, Nats Nut. How about we shout out for Kemps 0724? Don't know you, but I love you. Kemps says, these guys are great because they have a lot of passion for the Nats, and that is hard during this rebuilding stage, ain't it? They keep it interesting, and I love it. So see what we did there. We read those compliments. We feel better about ourselves. It's very shameful, and we're fine with it. We are absolutely fine with it. So keep them coming, Tobes.
Absolutely. Share the podcast with all your buddies, anybody that's into baseball even. Maybe we can convert them to being a Nationals fan, Grant. Hopefully it's not that long before this baseball team's winning some ball game. So maybe we can become the old bandwagon team here for some fans pretty soon.
For producer Darius and for Toby, I'm Grant saying so long. Episode 110, Boston Loose Baseball will be back in your feed with a new installment after the Astros series ready to go. when you pick up the phone on Monday morning.